Welcome back, everyone. This is Simon Phillips. This is The Change Show. And we're all about how do you cope with change? How do you deal with change? How do you master change and make it the thing that you control rather than something that feels like it's controlling you? So that's just a quick intro. So you know what, you're in the right place if that's something that's of interest to you. And you're even more in the right place today because I've got an incredibly amazing guest for you, Adam Slade, who's the Deputy Budget Director for Community Safety in Chicago. And Adam and I met a little while back through some work that we're both doing with the Human Workplace. And he's got some amazing stories to tell and things to share with you. So I'm just delighted to have you here with me here today, Adam. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Simon.
My pleasure. So what sort of time of day is it at the moment in Chicago?
It is early in the morning before my work day. So having an invigorating conversation, just getting ready to get started.
And you look that good even before you get started. How is that? That's not possible. Adam, I've just told everybody what your official title is, if you like. Do you want to fill in the blanks? Give us the origin story. What led to you landing up in this amazing role that you're doing today?
That is a great question, Simon. I ask myself that question a lot. I am a lifelong Chicago resident and have been born and raised and formed by my city. And even though I've worked for government in the past and also as an educator and as a consultant in technology and change management all over the world in different capacities, I always come back home. And my most recent role has really brought me back to addressing some of the challenges that Chicago has in its communities in regard to safety and public health. And I was offered the chance to fundamentally change how our city protects our residents. And so I had to leap at the opportunity to do so. And I'm so honored to be selected to help the city in this next iteration to address its current challenges.
Absolutely. And is there, is there a grand strategy or is that what you're helping think through at the moment?
Well, the city elected a new mayor, Mayor Brandon Johnson, and he ran on a platform that included a holistic view of community safety that included response to mental health and addressing root causes of violence in our community. And as a part of that, the budget director of the city, Annette Guzman, reformed the budget office of budget and management to combine the human services function in the budget and the public safety function in the budget together into a community safety function. And so that single change allowed us to think about safety in a whole new way, where we not only protect migrants that are coming into our city or address health challenges of our residents, or to combat crime and the effects of poverty in our communities, we could do it all together and figure out how to complement the strategies for more effective services and equitable service for our residents.
Okay, so taking a much more sort of integrated approach.
Absolutely.
Rather than just seeing it as something that sits out here and is actually very difficult to address if you do take it in a very singular way, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Magic. Well, you talked a lot there about the change that you're trying to drive there in Chicago. How about you? How do you cope with change?
I feel compelled to seek change whenever a situation arises that needs addressing. And so I have a lot of life experiences that have kind of turned the light bulb on, in a sense. Say, hey, we have an opportunity to do something different here, and that could have very positive impacts on all of us. And so whenever that light bulb clicks on, I feel compelled to act. And even in a bit of a moment of professional challenge, I encountered a human workplace and the light bulb clicked. And so really feeling the need to connect with my fellow teammates in a new way and to support each other as humans in the midst of COVID, that light bulb clicked on and I have been dedicated to reimagining that and focusing energy on that ever since.
Yeah. Now, and for those listening that haven't heard some of the previous episodes where I interviewed Renee, our friend Renee Smith, who founded A Human Workplace, there's a big job to do, isn't there, in helping workplaces across the planet, I mean, let's be honest, to fundamentally change how they approach the workplace and how they think about their people. They're trying to deliver great outcomes, but also have their own lives to think about and their own relationships inside work that mold the way that they think and approach their work. So, you know, it's a big challenge. What was it that most excited you about it?
What most excited me about it was the fact that there was such energy from people all over the world for this kind of discussion, where a lot of times we feel like we need to have our work persona and then our personal persona. And yeah. Those things are very separate entities and can be jarring as humans. And so figuring out how we can be our best and most authentic self as possible while we are at work, and to have an employer or a team that is understandable when life events emerge, to provide support in that transition instead of just ignoring the problem and hoping that it'll go away and that the person will get back to their efficient role in the team. Thinking about what we actually do as people in the pivotal roles that we hold is a really specific challenge, and one that can allow people to be their best selves. And so that's what really drew me to the community and meeting great people like you and a lot of the folks in our Human Workplace and the Center for Loving Workplace Communities, that is a source of support in the work that I do.
Yeah, fantastic. So have there been some episodes, is there something you could recall where maybe you've been in a situation that's been quite challenging in the workplace, where some of those ways of looking at things weren't quite as advanced in their thinking, if you like, as we are today?
Absolutely. The one that comes to mind immediately was a situation that happened during the time of the murder of George Floyd here in the States, in the city of Minneapolis. The organization that I was a part of was very expressed a lot of support around racial equity and support of teams in pursuit of that outcome. And as a result, they allowed us some time to process and allowed us to take a day off to refocus and to take care of ourselves, which was very kind.
Yeah.
The consequence to that, though, was then timelines shifted and the ability for others to review items, work products that needed to be published was shortened. And it happened that my work products were close on the calendar to be evaluated. And some of the work that I had written became a bit tone deaf after that incident. So one of the pieces I was writing was budgeting for equity through a COVID lens. And in the wake of George Floyd, we needed to rework that a little bit. But I did not receive timely communication from some of the members of my team in order to allow for the space to rework that and to move things forward. And then I was blamed for not being quick enough, even though I had less time and had to rework a series of articles that I had written or edited in order to accommodate that goal. While I, being a Black man who has had a gun put to his head by police, while I was processing that murder of George Floyd. And so it was personally traumatizing and betraying. And I did not know if I could stay at that organization after that incident. And that is when I encountered a Human Workplace.
Yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it? But your example there, because in the moment for you, that was, I think you used the word of a real betrayal of what, one, you expected, but two, what the organization was professing to support and engender in terms of, and that's the thing, isn't it? And that's a key to the work that we're doing, is how can you get that consistency and flow across your whole organization? So culturally, everyone instinctively knows how they should behave, mm-hmm. and avoid those, real tragedies, really, because it is a tragedy when people lose good people at work, just because they've not really thought it through. So a question I like to ask people is, have you encountered a real role model or a mentor during your career? And if so, what was it about them that really stimulated your imagination?
Oof. The short answer is yes. I don't know if I could count the number of mentors that I have, or the people that I seek counsel from, or the people that support me on a daily basis. I first would always say my parents, and in particular my mother. Regardless of what is happening in the world, she always offers specific support and some things to think about when I get really passionate and sometimes frustrated in pursuing the change that I seek. She frames it for me to put it in a bit of a perspective that is a little bit more manageable. And she also helps me slow down a little bit to be a little bit more intentional when I think, I have the answer. Why doesn't everybody else know it? She'll say, well, this is what they might not see yet, and you need to help guide them and to be patient with them as they learn your perspective and as you learn from them. So that patience is a very valuable thing. But I have friends going all the way back to high school. I have former coworkers. I have former supervisors that I still talk to this day. And in fact, I will be working with some of them potentially at the city really soon in a consulting capacity for my new office. So it comes full circle sometimes.
It does. And I love that example of your mum, you know, just trying to help you understand that not everybody sees it the same way as you today, but they will. They'll get there. In fact, we were talking before the show, weren't we, about your GC Index profile, where you're a massive game changer, which is all about, you know, new ideas, creative, and it's all crystal clear in your head. It's just one day the world will catch up. Magic. So what are your passions outside of work? I think we've heard a lot about, you know, what you're up to, how you approach all of that. What do you get excited about outside work?
I get excited seeing old friends and reconnecting with people. And a lot of times I do that singing karaoke. I was originally a music major in college, a voice major. And if I need to unwind, usually going somewhere and hearing good music or being able to sing a song that's on my heart helps unburden me and helps me connect with others.
Ah, fantastic. And it's not like you live in one of the best cities in the world for music, is it? Live music. That'd be a disaster.
Not at all.
Excellent. Adam, you've been fantastic. So tell us what you're up to right now. What's the bit? I mean, you told us about this strategy. You've told us, you know, how you're trying to integrate it and bring it all together. But if there was one big thing that you're hoping to really steer through and guide, what is it at the moment?
Among several big passion projects that have emerged with this new role, one of them is connecting even deeper with the city residents around the services that we provide them and the way that we support and create safe communities. Figuring out how to be more transparent about the challenges facing our government so that we can make informed decisions and have respectful dialogue and to learn from each other as government employees as well as residents on the ground, so we can make our city better and to have a more of a family conversation during budget time instead of a conflicting, angry conversation, so that we can respect the needs of all and accommodate the needs of all and center those that have been left out of that conversation. Nice. That's really my big goal, if we can come together more as a city and understand what's at stake.
And do you have a sense that this is work that is required in other places as well, or is Chicago behind the field? How do you perceive it at the moment?
I think government writ large is understanding the value of engagement with community and creating a two-way dialogue about the goods and services that are needed for the public to run effectively and to protect us all. But we also have significant challenges in facing that. And I think COVID in particular really sparked the imagination of a stereotypically inflexible field. You know, government is known for its bureaucracy and its hierarchy, but being responsive in the midst of several crises, I think, is helping us rethink how we serve the public.
Yeah, magic. Adam, fantastic. Thanks for sharing some of those thoughts. But nobody gets off this show without sharing a track that they want to add to the Chain Show playlist. So what's it going to be for you? What song inspires you or has been a real game changer for you in your life? What are you going to add to the list?
Oh, boy. I think the first song that comes to mind would be A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke.
Classic. Yeah, fantastic. Well, I should have known you'd come out with an absolute classic, Adam. That's a brilliant choice. Listen, thank you so much for being my guest today, and good luck with all of that work. And, you know, between us, I'm sure we can help a human workplace move some things forward. And that community is just so magical. Like you, I feel really honored to be part of it and to be working with great people like yourself. So thanks for your time. Good luck with everything. And I'll see you in the home of the blues sometime soon.
I sure hope so, and definitely virtually before that.
Brilliant. Cheers, Adam.
Cheers.